We hope that these connection books are something that will help us identify our visitors and our guests. We hope that you as members are filling them out. If you're passing them over and not filling them out, number one, you're setting a bad example for those around you that might be watching and that might think, oh, I don't have to do this. But also we hope that we can identify who's here easy and better to meet needs, to find out prayer concerns, and to also recognize visitors. And so it's important that you fill those books out. If you please, we'll do that. That'll be a great help for us. I know it'll take a little while to get used to, but we're excited about what we believe visitors will feel when they are handed that book, and they'll feel the warm reception, and that we care about them with that guest book, the connection book. So be sure and keep doing that. You're doing a good job. We've done a good job the first couple of weeks, but I know as the weeks go on, there might be the temptation to kind of observe the Passover and just kind of pass it on down. Don't do that. We've got that time allotted now for those books. And so help us out with that. We appreciate you doing that so much. We are talking about our core values. We began last week. I had my apple down here that we cut open. We began looking at, as we're doing in our Bible classes this quarter at Crosstown, what are our core values? What are our core beliefs? Why do we do what we do here in the Lord's church and at the Crosstown congregation? And so we are identifying those values and those beliefs. We're looking at those in our Bible classes. So I hope that you're having some good classes. I know you are. The class that myself and Chris Clayton are co-teaching are having a good start. And Chris did a great job this morning talking to us about God and God, what that means, why we believe in God, have that personal faith in God. And I hope that you had a good class. If you were in Bible class, if you weren't, I hope that you'll make that a priority in the coming weeks to get plugged into a Bible class as we start unpacking these core values and beliefs. And I told you last week, my intention is to not to rehash and to go over what we've learned in Bible class, but to try to maybe take a theme or an idea or a point or two and to spend some time thinking about how it can strengthen those core values, those core beliefs. And I want to do that in these lessons to kind of come alongside this study with some of these sermons in this series I'm calling Strengthening the Core. And of course, that begins here as we began talking about God and our belief in God. Why do we believe in God? And again, hopefully you had a good Bible class this morning and looked at some of those attributes and some of those characteristics of who God is and what He is like and how we can come to know Him and share Him with others as we want to reflect God's glory so that we can see lives transformed and we can share Christ. Again, our Crosstown mission statement here that we have adopted. But God, I want us this morning to think about God in two ways. Be very practical here as we think about who God is and how that affects our life. I want us to think about God being the source of our security and identity. You know, for a lot of us, we had that father figure. And I know for many and for some folks, they don't have a good, pleasant experience or thought or feeling when they think about their father. But I know for a lot of us, we look back and we think about that special relationship that we had with a parent, with our father, with our dads. And that provides such security and identity. We know that children do so much better when they have a loving, healthy relationship with their father. And we know that counselors and family experts, they all point to that and the causes and the symptoms of children who do not have a loving, caring relationship with their father. And the same is true with us spiritually. We need our Father. We need to have that relationship with our God. And that is so vital because it provides for us many things. Of course, we know that we're created in God's image. We know that God, who is all powerful, has made us in His image, and that we are His creation. And that gives us worth, and that gives us a sense of value. And that gives us a mission and a purpose in life, that I know who I am and why I'm here. God, the source of our security and our identity. We have a lot of concern about those issues today, security. We have a lot of concern about protection. And we're concerned about protection and about security in our families, in our homes, as a nation. You know, that's a big concern. And we know we're concerned about identity in our life. Who am I? You know, who am I? What am I all about? Knowing who I am. Knowing where I come from. Identity, it's so important. And again, I want us to think this morning about God being that source of our security and identity. And we're going to look at two main areas here, okay, as we think about God and what our belief in God means, how that can strengthen our core values, God being the source of our security and our identity. Let's first take security, that God is the source, that core value, that belief that we have, that God is the source of our security. And the reason He is because our security is in His sovereignty. Now, sovereignty is one of those big words that just simply means the rule of God. That God is ruling. That God in His sovereignty is reigning. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us from Genesis through Revelation that God is sovereign. What that means is He is ruling the universe. He is ruling and reigning over the world. And you find this theme throughout the Scriptures. Notice some of the Psalms. The psalmist speaks of this. If you just kind of, some of these Psalms here that I gave you, Psalm 93 and verse 1. The psalmist says, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure." Why is the world established firm and secure? Because God is ruling. God is reigning in His sovereignty. That gives us great security. Again, the psalmist continues, Psalm 96 and verse 10. Psalm 96 and verse 10 there. "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. The world is firmly established. It cannot be removed. He will judge the peoples with equity." Then you get over to Psalm 97 there in verse 1, the very next chapter. "The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice." And Psalm 99 verse 1, and then just some of these that we could look at. "The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake." The Lord, the sovereign God, is ruling, is reigning. There is nothing that is outside of His dominion and His power and His authority. You know, that is so practical for us to know that, because we need to be reminded of that when our faith is shaken, when we face trial, when we face tribulation, when we face temptation. It's important to know that God is on the throne ruling and reigning. You know, you go to the book of Revelation, there, Revelation. And John, as he sees a vision, remember he sees that throne room scene that opens up there in Revelation chapter 4. And, you know, the early church there that John is addressing there and receives that revelation, the early church was suffering. They were suffering persecution. They were suffering temptation. They were being pulled and swayed to renounce God and to renounce the Son of God, Jesus, His Son. And as they're facing that trial, as they're facing that tribulation, John receives this vision of Jesus Christ, of God, and it starts out there in chapter 4. And just all of the details of the book of Revelation, that we can get lost in the details. We can spend a whole lifetime studying the book of Revelation. And what does this mean? And what might this mean? And don't miss it. Don't miss the big picture. John receives this revelation, and notice as he gets a peek into heaven, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2, "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." God is on His throne. And that's what the early church needed to hear there. God is reigning. God is ruling. And that means security. That means that we can have that peace when the world around us is shaking and our lives may seem to be even falling apart. We have that confidence and that faith that God is ruling and that God is reigning, that God controls everything, that God controls the destiny of the entire world in His hand. And we are to look upon and gaze upon our Creator, our God. He goes on to say there in Revelation 4, as he sees these angelic beings and these 24 elders falling down before the throne and worshiping Him and laying their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have been created." Take heart, God is on His throne. That gives us security. Every step we take, God is in control. God is reigning. God is ruling. And what this means is, practically, is that He's our refuge as a result. The early church was needing that encouragement to turn to God for that refuge in the midst of the storm. You know, the psalmist, again, as he speaks about our relationship with God, he says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, verse 1 rather, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." Do you ever feel like that sometimes in your life? That your life is shaking, that your life is falling apart. God here, the psalmist says, God is our strength. He's our refuge, an ever-present help in our time of need. And he goes on to describe again, the Lord Almighty is with us, verse 7, Psalm 46. He's our fortress. He goes down and then says in verse 10, therefore he says, "Be still and know that I am God." We have a song we sing. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The sovereignty of God, the ruling, reigning God, gives us a refuge, gives us a stillness, a peace that we find great, great help and strength in that. God is our help. Our ever-present help. He's one that we can turn to in our time of trouble. The Hebrew writer would identify this for us as Christians as we come to the throne of God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. "Therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Do you hear that? We come before the sovereign God with confidence that He will hear us, that He wants to help us, that He can be that source of strength. He can be that refuge that we go to and that we turn to. It gives us great, great encouragement. Paul would write in Romans chapter 8 there in verse 35 about what this security gives to us as children of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 through 39, these familiar words. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?
As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. As Paul thought about everything that he could imagine, anything that could separate us from God, he says, I can't think of anything. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Because God is our Father. God is ruling. God is reigning. And He identifies Himself to us as being the sovereign, powerful God who's ruling and reigning in our world and in our lives. And that gives us great security this morning, that we can know who God is and who we are as His followers. And that gives us great, great encouragement. I also think it's important, as we think about God, God not only is that source of security, that He's ruling, that He's reigning, that He's sovereign, but also we think about this idea of our identity. Our identity. Because we know who God is, because we have a relationship with God, it gives us a great sense of identity. Well, how does it do that? I think here in the area of our adoption. In our adoption, our source of identity comes from this relationship with God and knowing God because we are His children. He has adopted us. And the Bible uses this language often of we are chosen by God. We are chosen by God. God has brought us into His family. The sovereign ruler, the sovereign God, the Creator wants to have a relationship with us. You know, you find this language in the Old Testament when it's used to describe God's covenant people, Israel in the Old Testament. This language that God has chosen us, this idea of God choosing, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. Notice what He tells Israel here. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the earth, of the face of the earth, to be His people. Notice His treasured possession. God has chosen you to be His special people, His treasured possession. Well, you find that in the New Testament, that we as the church, the community of God, we are that called out. We are that chosen people. And in the language of Paul, such as in Ephesians chapter 1, notice in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul uses this language in verses 4 and 5. Actually, back up in verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice he starts with God. Everything we have is because of God, the Father. And that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about what we believe about Jesus, the Son of God. All these blessings are in His Son, Jesus the Christ. But notice here, verse 4, about God. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His good pleasure, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One whom He loves. God has chosen us. And Paul says God did that before the creation of the world. Before God created anything. Before God spoke anything into existence. Before the very first Adam was made. God was thinking about us. God was thinking about you and I. And where we would find that salvation and that relationship would be with His Son, Jesus. See, we are chosen in that place. That saving relationship is in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And we have that relationship. And it uses here the language here, I think the chosen. Again, God wants me. Just stop right there and think about that this morning. And just say that in your mind. Say that. Matter of fact, let's just say that together. God wants me. Let's try it again. God wants me. The infinite, holy, powerful God, creator of this world, wants me. He wants me. The world doesn't want you. I don't know if that's a news flash for you this morning. The world does not have your best interest. The world is not going to seek after you to give you what you need and what you desire and what's good for you. And the world is not going to do that. The world is going to step over you. The world's going to step on you. The world's going to walk around you. The world's going to ignore you. The world's going to say you don't matter. You don't have any value. You don't have any worth. But God says, not to me. You matter to me. I want you. I've talked with a lot of Christians over the years. I've had them in my office. I've talked to them in their home, on the phone. People who've gone to church their whole life, and they've been taught. They know something about God. They know about the God of the Bible intellectually. And they might even say, I know that God wants me. I know that God loves me. You know, what's the first song we learn usually when we're a child? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yet here they find themselves maybe in their life, maybe with shame or with guilt or with sin or with trial or whatever it might be. And they just, does God really love me? They question their relationship with God. You see, we know it in our heads, but in our hearts. We need to bury that deep in our hearts. God wants me. He loves me. He cares about me. And it's emphasized throughout the Scriptures. And it's emphasized with the language of this specifically, that we're identified as God's children here. This is the adoption. We are identified as children of God. The word adoption, just like it does in so many ways today. But in the ancient times, in the Roman world, it was a legal practice when someone wanted to take a slave or a servant or someone that wasn't their biological child. And they wanted to bring them into their family. They wanted them to have all of the rights and the privileges and the inheritance of being a son, being a daughter. And just like we have that experience with adoption. And that's what the idea here is, that the emphasis on this legal position, that we are a child of God. We're created in God's image, and God wants us to be His children. We know, again, one of the great images of Scripture is God as Father. And again, I mentioned this morning, not everyone has pleasant thoughts about imagery of Father. And that breaks my heart to know that there are people that they don't think about Father as being loving and caring. They think of Father as someone to be feared because that's all they knew. And I understand that. But God is our Father. You know, look what Paul would write in Galatians chapter 4. Notice what he says here, Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. God wants to be more than your Savior. God wants to be in a personal relationship with you. He wants to be in an intimate relationship with you. And here Paul says, we don't just identify our relationship with God as being He's our ruler, He's our master, we're His servant, we're slaves. The Bible uses that imagery. Don't misunderstand. We are subject to God. God is, in that sense, He is our master. We are His servants. But here, Paul is saying, God doesn't just want us to be slaves. God's not just after a bunch of servants. God wants children. He wants a relationship with us. And so he uses this very tender affection here, this term. Notice there in verse 6 that he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts and we cry out, Abba, Father. That's a very tender term that was used by the Jews. Abba, Father. That kind of relationship of loving, welcoming, intimate, caring relationship. We're not just distant servants and slaves. Jesus Christ has brought us in to a very special relationship with God. We are His children. We are His sons and His daughters. That gives us a great sense of identity. John would write in 1 John chapter 3. Notice what he would write in 1 John chapter 3. Towards the end of the New Testament, his epistle, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. See, and it's emphatic here in the original. Behold, gaze upon, look upon this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That's our identity. God loves us. We are His children. I don't know about you, but I want my children to have a sense of their identity in my love for them as their father. And I think you as want that as parents, as moms, as dads. You want your children to know whatever else may happen in life, whatever may come in their life, no matter what they do even. And we don't condone and we don't approve of everything our children do, but that we love them and that they are our children. And that sense of identity is so critical. We know in our lives, how much more with our Father, with our God. We are His children, sons and daughters. That identity helps me face anything that comes my way, especially when the world comes along and whispers in our ears, you don't matter. You're not worth anything. Look at you. Look what you've done. Look who you are. Look where you've been. Look where you'll never go any further. I mean, all of the things the world and Satan will whisper to us that we don't matter, we don't have any worth. God tells us we matter. We have identity. We have a sense of security and identity in that relationship with God. It is so, so, so vital. Anybody seen the movie Lion King? Any kiddos ever seen the movie Lion King? I'll tell you what, it's one of the great Disney movies. I know the movie Frozen is getting a lot of buzz, and it's a great movie. But I remember this movie. This 20 years ago this came out, 1994. And this was a box office phenomenon too, like the Frozen movie has been. It was just everyone had seen it and was talking about it. There were songs. I mean, you talk about the circle of life and some of these hit songs that were on the radio. And you know the story if you've seen the movie. It tells about this pack of lions there in Africa there. And you know that it tells about, of course, it has the great opening scene, that circle of life, and the Lion King there, voiced by James Earl Jones. I mean, come on, Darth Vader here. And his voice starts out, and he's ruling over his kingdom and his dominion there. And, of course, he has a son that's born, Simba. This is Mufasa, is the Lion King. And of course, we're introduced to the story and these characters. We're eventually introduced to this guy here, Scar. Remember, he's the brother to Mufasa. This is Simba when he becomes older. But you remember Scar. And remember, Scar is jealous and he wants that kingdom of his own. And so he's got to get rid of young Simba. And he develops a plan to basically set up in this valley dangerous situation where this lion, little lion, cub, Simba, is going to go off in a very dangerous area. And Scar's kind of manipulated this where he's going to cause a stampede with the wildebeest there. And you remember there as his father, Mufasa, comes to his rescue. He saves his son, gets him up out of that valley. And remember, he's kind of on the side of the cliff, And he's trying to pull himself up, and Scar is there at the top. And he looks down and he grabs his paws and he's going to help him, you think. And he just rakes his paws and throws him off, and Mufasa dies. And this, as a result, Scar tells Simba, "What have you done? What have you done?" And Simba is just devastated when he sees his father dead there. And Scar tells him, "You better run. You better get out of here." And Scar then takes over, kind of ruling the kingdom. And of course, you know, Simba is there. He's going to take off. He's going to leave the pack of the lions, and he's going to travel off, and he's going to meet up with what, that meerkat and that warthog. Remember, he's a lion. What's he doing living with those animals? And remember, there's this wise old, monkey. I don't know what exactly is what he is, but he was an advisor for his father, for Mufasa, and he starts talking to Simba about who you are. And there's a scene there, which, of course, this is a magical movie now, so come on. But he takes him to a pond. He takes Simba to a pond there, a little body of water at night, and he tells him to look in the water, and he sees a reflection. He thinks he sees his father, and he says, "That's just my reflection." He says, "No, you look further." And then you have the scene where his father talks to him, kind of in a dream vision there. And here's what his father tells him. His father says, "Simba, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten me." And Simba says to his dad, "How have I forgotten you? You have forgotten who you are, and so have forgotten me." I wonder, for some of us here this morning, have we forgotten who we are? Have we forgotten our relationship with the God of the heavens, the Maker, the Creator, the Ruler, the Sovereign God and King? Have we forgot that we are a child of His in Christ Jesus? If we are children of God through faith, we are children of the Most High God. And that gives us a great sense of security and of identity. You're not going to find it in the world, friend. If you're seeking that this morning, whether it's through any means, any venues of this world, this culture, and this life, if you're seeking worth and identity and value and security, you're going to be disappointed. It's only in our God and in His Son, Jesus. Have you lost sight of who you are this morning? Have you forgotten who you are? And have you forgotten whose you are? You know, Paul tells us that we come to be children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the place God has chosen for that saving relationship and salvation to be found, is in Jesus, His Son. And we come through our obedience to faith, and we put Christ on in the waters of baptism. We clothe ourselves with Christ. And Paul tells us there in Galatians 3 that we become children of God. We become heirs of the promises, all the grand, glorious promises that God wants to give us, His inheritance. We receive that in Christ Jesus when we become a child of God. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you living outside of that relationship? Because outside of that relationship, there's nothing but death. There's nothing but pain. You have no source of security. You have no way of having a true sense of identity outside of God and outside of His Son Jesus. Maybe as a Christian, you have wandered away from that. You're like Simba. You're out here living with some meerkat and warthog. You need to come back to the kingdom of God. You need to come back to the rule of God in your life as a Christian. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing.
Unto Thee, O Lord.